Welcome to the Preconception Podcast, the only podcast dedicated exclusively to guiding women through the preconception period. Our mission is to make sure you have the information you need in order to have the healthiest pregnancy possible, whether that happens next month or next year. The decisions you make today can significantly impact the health of you and your future children for years to come. So each week on our podcast, we'll discuss one piece of the preconception puzzle. This way, you can enter pregnancy empowered, informed, and in the best health possible. Join us on your journey and have today be the day you start planning your perfect pregnancy. All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Preconception Podcast. I'm really excited because today we have Brooke Boscovich, a functional medicine dietitian who specializes in women's health. She's also the creator of the Foundations program and is known as the fertility dietitian on Instagram. Hi, Brooke.
Hi, Christy. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us. So today we're going to talk about the importance of egg quality and nutrition as that relates to the preconception period. But before we get started, I was hoping that you could just give us a bit of information about your background and your education.
Yeah, definitely. So I am a registered dietitian, and I'm the owner of Brooke Boscovich Nutrition, which is a functional and integrative nutrition practice. I specialize in digestive wellness, hormone balance, and fertility. I started studying psychology, actually, but went on to pursue nutrition. Psychology is super helpful background for what I'm doing currently as well. So it's really, really beneficial to have that as well. But I went on to pursue a Master of Science in nutrition and dietetics. So I actually completed my dietetic internship in the greater Boston area before moving back to the Pacific Northwest, which is where I'm from. I do have additional training in integrative and functional medicine through Dr. Aviva Rom, as well as the Integrative and Functional Nutrition Academy, the Women's Health and Nutrition Academy as well, and many more areas. So I'm constantly learning more about, you know, women's health and fertility, and learning how to best serve my clients, which are typically both men and women struggling to conceive.
Well, you sound a lot like me, because anyone who knows me knows that I'm always reading, and my free time is often spent researching and looking at new evidence. One of the things that I remember you saying on your Foundations program that I often quote myself is that it takes on average 17 years for evidence to kind of make it into the mainstream practice once research is conducted. And I think that is so important for listeners to recognize, because oftentimes the advice that they're getting from their providers, while it may be well-meaning, can be decades behind. And that's where I think it's really helpful to have people like yourself who stay up to date on things and make an active point of continuing to be a learner throughout their lives and their profession.
Absolutely. Yeah, that statistic just shocks me every time I hear it and think about it. But definitely, I'm happy to be constantly learning and providing my clients and my following the best information possible for preconception.
Yeah, and it's definitely a shocking statistic until you actually work in this field, and then I'm sure you'll agree that you're like, oh no, that makes sense.
Definitely. It's definitely hard to get things changed, for sure.
All right, well, so can you just explain to our listeners a bit what functional medicine in the context of nutrition is and how it differs from the standard approach to nutrition?
Yeah, definitely. So functional nutrition, I basically take a step back and we're looking at the whole body. So nutrition has so many functions in the body. It's so much more than just food and eating, which is definitely an important part of it. But the nutrients that make up food have a lot of functions in our body, including supporting things like our detox system and our stress response, and just building hormones and supporting that overall hormone communication in the body. So with functional nutrition, I'm looking at things like hormone balance and gut health and really trying to piece together those major systems that help use nutrients for all the functions in the body, but definitely for fertility, which is, of course, my focus. So basically, if there's anything off with, say, gut health or the detox system in general, resources are going to be taken away from fertility. And when I say resources, I'm really talking about nutrients. So kind of peeling back the layers and seeing where the barriers are for your body to be able to use the nutrients for fertility is kind of the essence, I guess, of functional fertility. It's finding the root cause of what might be leading your body to not use nutrients for fertility.
And what would you say is the biggest difference between that approach and maybe the standard approach that a lot of people might be familiar with?
Definitely. So the standard approach is definitely more generalized. It's a lot less specific to the individual, and each and every one of us have different barriers, largely due to epigenetics, which I'm sure we'll get into. But there's different needs that we each have. So if I was to say, like, everybody should be on this specific fertility diet, and they'll all get the same results, that would be more of like the conventional approach.
That makes a lot of sense. And I'm sure that most people listening to this are really familiar with the conventional approach, because that's pretty much the approach that all of my colleagues take. You know, they're not specifically trained in nutrition. I think that most providers recognize that there's certainly a deficit when it comes to healthcare providers, specifically in women's health and their background in nutrition. But I don't think that patients always realize that. And so just as a PSA here to anyone listening, most healthcare providers do not have what I would consider a sufficient level of nutrition education. Now, there are some providers who might go on for additional education. Maybe they had an undergraduate degree in nutrition or something before they went into medicine. But overall, most people that you come into contact with, at least in Western medicine, are unlikely to have the level of nutritional education that you as a patient need to have this customized advice. And that's why I think it's really important to have dietitians or nutritionists kind of in your wheelhouse as a provider, because it's someone that you can refer patients to, or in many cases, a patient can self-refer themselves to, and really get that one-on-one individualized nutrition advice, which, as you said, and as we'll talk about, is so, so important, specifically in the preconception period when it comes to fertility, your ability to get pregnant, your ability to have a healthy pregnancy, decreasing, you know, poor outcomes of pregnancy. And, you know, as you mentioned in a lot of your teachings, the health of your child for the rest of their lives and potentially their future children too. So I think that people often brush over nutrition in a lot of these situations and don't maybe look at it until there is a problem, but it really cannot be overstated how important it is when you're in the preconception period before you even get to the place of having a problem.
Absolutely. That's such an important point. And unfortunately, as you mentioned, preconception care is not really thought about until there is a problem that arises. But it's definitely one of my missions is to help raise awareness how important the preconception period is and what a major impact nutrition has on that too, which I know that's definitely one of your missions too, bringing awareness to that preconception period. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. And that's why we were so excited when we saw you and you agreed to come on and talk to us. So before we get a little bit farther in, can you just tell us what made you interested in nutrition as it relates to conception and fertility?
Definitely. So it has to do with my personal story, as many providers can kind of relate to. But basically, I had all sorts of cycle problems from the time I got my period as a teenager. Super irregular, and my doctor's answer or treatment was birth control. So I never really learned why, you know, I was having the trouble that I was having with irregular cycles. until later in my life when I started having even more health issues. And it was really investigating those health issues, which turned out to be Hashimoto's thyroiditis, as well as celiac disease, which is when I started diving more into those connections, my thyroid disease and celiac disease, and how those are connected to hormones and cycle health, essentially. So eventually, after way too long, I came off of birth control and did a deep dive into just reading every book I could and learning all about how not only like the immune system, which it is Hashimoto's, is based in the immune system or an autoimmune condition of the thyroid, and celiac disease has some connections to the immune system as well, and basically just learning about how those things are connected to my gut health and my hormone balance gave me a passion for not only learning about how our body is so very connected, but also how nutrition and lifestyle can help support those changes without medication. So that was probably a long answer, but definitely my story and what led me to nutrition in relation to fertility. It was actually during that time that I was learning all of that I was going through my dietetics degree and internship as well. So it kind of meshed well. Being a conventional dietitian was definitely not right for me, or working in a clinical setting like a hospital was definitely not right for me because of those personal things and learning about the connections that go way above and beyond the protocols of the general nutrition practice that is provided. So that is definitely why I wanted to jump in and really individualize nutrition for women, specifically when it relates to cycle health and fertility.
Now, would you say that most dietitians have sufficient knowledge to manage hormonal issues like that and to provide advice as it relates to the preconception period and fertility? Or do you think it's important to find someone who specializes in it like you do?
I think it's very important to find somebody who specializes in it. I did not learn anything about hormones or how nutrition relates to fertility and cycle health during my master's degree in nutrition or really my dietetics internship. So it's really all of the education that I've done beyond that degree is where I've been able to specialize in what I do today. And not to say like my degree in nutrition is super, super beneficial for the foundational just knowledge of how our body uses nutrition, our metabolism, all of that's super, super helpful to build on the specialization. But definitely if you're looking for somebody to help you with hormones and fertility, look for somebody who specializes in it.
Totally. I agree with that. And it's very similar in women's health when it comes to preconception care, as we kind of talked about earlier. Most women's health providers, whether that's a doctor, a PA like myself, a nurse practitioner, or even a midwife, most of them do not have really good training in preconception care. And as a matter of fact, a lot of them have no training in preconception care. I was appalled when I got out of school and started practicing and doing this research on my own to realize how much I never knew. And then I was even more appalled when I started talking to my colleagues and other providers, even people who had been practicing for years, sometimes decades, and they had no idea what I was talking about when I talked about preconception care. Like, they knew what the word preconception meant. And, you know, they may sometimes tell their patients to take a prenatal vitamin, but that was literally the extent of what their knowledge was and what they were recommending. And, you know, when I started to get into the deep side of the research and recognizing how many of the pregnancy complications we were seeing, you know, in our practice were related to preconception health and could actually be prevented or at least minimized if you made some changes in the preconception period. I just wanted to like scream this from the rooftops because I just could not understand why everyone wasn't talking about it.
I completely understand that. It is mind-boggling to me why this is not more common knowledge and common practice. There's such a huge impact that we can have on the lifelong health of our future tiny human just by focusing on the preconception period.
Absolutely. And I think there's very few women who, if they had this knowledge, you know, wouldn't make some of those changes that we're going to talk about. And it's just, it's really astonishing. So to kind of dive into our talk today, where we're going to talk about egg quality and how nutrition can affect that, I wanted to start by talking about epigenetics. You mentioned this earlier, and I've heard you talk about it in your program, and I think it's something that not a lot of people are familiar with. So it might be helpful for our listeners to kind of dive into this a little bit before we move on. So could you explain to everyone what epigenetics is?
Definitely. So epigenetics is essentially how the expression of a gene is changed or altered. It's a pretty common belief or really misconception to think that we have to live with the cards that we're dealt with when it comes to genetics. But there's actually exposures like nutrition, lifestyle, and environmental exposures that can alter gene expression, and that's epigenetics. Really, the way our genes are expressed now can actually be traced back to our grandmother's diet, lifestyle, and even environmental exposures, because that's essentially when our genes are being staged. So definitely our own mother's diet and lifestyle all the way from preconception through infancy has a big impact on what your epigenetics are as well. But there's a lot that we can do to change our exposures and essentially change our epigenetics that will then assist our future tiny humans' epigenetics and really lifelong health.
And how does nutrition specifically affect gene expression?
Yeah, so there's specific nutrients. Some of the big ones are folate and choline, B6 and B12. But these specific nutrients actually assist in turning on good genes and off not so good genes when it comes to fertility and egg quality. It's all through a process called methylation, but that's the general idea of it.
And why is this important during the preconception period? Like, why can't we just wait until we're pregnant to make these changes?
Yeah, so you can definitely have a big impact during pregnancy as well, but during at least that like 90 to 100 days before conception, you are already influencing the genetic makeup of your future tiny human. So those epigenetic changes start during the preconception period. And this really means that you're setting up your future baby for how easy it might be to stay healthy or how hard it might be to stay healthy. When we're talking about nutrition specifically, if you have a deficiency prior to conception in any of these major nutrients like B12, B6, or folate, there's actually a correlation with poor health outcomes in your baby. Including things like insulin resistance, altered immune function, even increased weight and increased blood pressure in that baby. So that time frame during the preconception period is really, really important for influencing that epigenetics or genetic programming of both egg and sperm and therefore setting up your future tiny human for improved health throughout their life.
Excellent. So today we'll mostly be talking about egg quality, but can you explain the difference between egg quality and egg quantity?
Yes. So quantity is the number of eggs that you have remaining. Definitely has a lot to do with age. Quality, also age is a factor in quality as well. But anytime that I talk about quality, I'm really referring to chromosomal abnormalities or genetic errors is an easy way to think about that. These abnormalities or genetic errors are often a result of oxidative stress. Oxidative stress is what is altering the genetics through damaging mitochondria. So mitochondria is basically the energy source of a cell, and our ovaries and follicles have way more mitochondria than any other area in our body. It's like 10 times more than any other area. So if we have a lot of oxidative stress that's damaging those cells, there's going to be genetic errors that pop up. And that is really decreasing egg quality because it is impairing the maturation of that egg, the ability for it to ovulate, the ability for it to be fertilized, and even then be implanted and be able to thrive throughout early pregnancy. So egg quality, if there's any issues in egg quality, you're going to see oftentimes a longer time to conception or longer time to having a healthy baby.
And you mentioned earlier the time frame that we typically look at is about 90 to 100 days at minimum before conception. And so I've actually heard a lot of controversy about this, specifically from OBGYNs. And so some providers tell people that's not true. And, you know, your eggs mature only during the cycle that they're going to potentially ovulate during. But you and I know that that's actually not the case, and that the effects of what you do on your eggs are several months at minimum before you actually see that egg mature and ovulate. And so could you just talk a little bit about what happens during that time frame that makes that, you know, 3 to 4 month period so important?
Yeah, definitely. So during that whole 3 to 4 month period, you're really providing the maturing egg or follicle that is going to become the egg that ovulates. You're providing it with nourishment to be able to have the best possible genetic programming to be able to be fertilized, basically. So that can be in the form of nutrition, positive lifestyle support, good quality sleep, just supporting, you know, your overall health throughout that period is going to be supporting the genetic makeup throughout that entire time frame. So definitely, like, the window that you're going to have the most significant impact on egg quality is at least that 90 to 100 days.
And is there any way to measure egg quality?
Sort of. So if we're talking about an IVF cycle, potentially if there's like genetic testing going on, that is a way, but really the best way to think about egg quality or the best measures of egg quality are things like how long it's taking you to conceive. If you're having a history of miscarriage or recurring miscarriage, or if you are seeking fertility treatments, if you're, or IVF specifically, if you're seeing a limited number of embryos or zero embryos that are making it to that 5-day mark or blastocyst stage, or even failed transfers, those can all be measures of egg quality. Unfortunately, there's no like specific lab test that really measures egg quality.
Yeah, I think that's an important differentiation is that there are some ways to measure quantity. So they're not perfect, but you can, for instance, look at the number of follicles in someone's ovaries on an ultrasound. You can do an AMH test, which stands for anti-Müllerian hormone, which is actually not as helpful as some people think it is at determining egg quantity, but can give you some idea, especially when you're going through an IVF cycle, on what kind of treatment you may need. But there really isn't a test for egg quality. And that's why it's so important that we do these lifestyle changes, because until we start trying, whether that's trying, you know, naturally or if we are going through IVF, until you go through that entire cycle, you don't actually know what quality eggs you get until you're already done, right? And so by that time, you've gone through all of this effort to get pregnant, only to find out that you're having some of those signs of poor egg quality. And so I think that really emphasizes the importance of everyone before they even try to conceive, making some of these changes that we're going to talk about and focusing on these specific nutrients that we do know support egg quality so that you don't have to go through that failed process, if you will, only to find out that your eggs maybe have a poor quality. Instead, you can kind of catch that on the front end and just do what you can to improve your egg quality so that when you get to that point, you know, this is the best I can do. This is, I've done everything I can. And, you know, age and whatnot, there's other factors that contribute to it. But I think that oftentimes people think that egg quality is completely out of their control and it's related only to age. And that's a misconception that I would love to see broken.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. And as you mentioned, like age definitely plays a role in egg quality, but you can actually improve the quality of your eggs no matter what age you are, just by making some of these nutrition and lifestyle changes that we'll be talking about.
Absolutely. And when I used to work at a fertility clinic, we saw that all the time where people would have, as you mentioned, like very few eggs that didn't really make it very far, were not able to survive the IVF process. And then we'd have them make some changes to their diet, maybe lose some weight if they were overweight, make some changes to their lifestyle, maybe take some additional supplements. And then, you know, the next cycle, we'd see a significant improvement in that. And so I think that speaks to, you know, the data that we have that you definitely can improve your egg quality to some extent, at least. So we touched on this earlier, but what problems are you most likely to see if you do have a poor egg quality?
Yeah, so longer time to conception. So oftentimes if you've been trying to conceive for a while, that can indicate poor egg quality, specifically longer than a year, just because it does depend on age and timing and making sure that you're, you know, hitting that fertile window appropriately. But typically, if you've been struggling for more than a year to conceive, that can definitely indicate poor egg quality. If you're having miscarriages or recurring miscarriages, that can indicate poor egg quality and or sperm quality. But I would say typically, for my clients, those are the biggest things that we see as measures of poor egg quality.
Yeah, I totally agree. And as you mentioned, for people who are going through IVF, seeing, you know, poor results during the IVF process can also point to poor egg quality and an area for improvement. Let's move on to the nutrition aspect. Can you tell us how nutrition affects egg quality?
Yeah, so in a variety of ways, really, but one of the biggest ways is by decreasing oxidative damage. So the oxidative damage is what can lead to the genetic errors and decrease quality or lengthen the time to conception or healthy baby. And the nutrients that we feed our eggs, basically, can actually improve that genetic programming and help fight off oxidative damage. So a really big one is antioxidants in our diet. So I like to think of antioxidants as like little superheroes that are coming in to fight off these bad guys, which is the oxidative damage, and protect the genetic programming process of that maturing egg over that 90 to 100 days. That's one big way. Definitely those big nutrients that are involved in epigenetics, like the B12 and the folate and the B6, are really important for turning on those good genes and turning off those not so good genes, which also plays a role in the ability of the egg to be fertilized and implant appropriately. And also the major role that nutrition has in supporting our natural detox system. So this is something that is often not talked about a lot, but nutrition plays a huge role in our detox system, specifically in the liver. The liver requires lots of nutrients, protein and specific vitamins and minerals to help package up toxins and get rid of them in the body. Environmental toxins, as well as things like excess hormones, can kind of stick around and cause issues with the whole epigenetic process that's happening, which does influence egg quality as well.
That's a really good point about detox. And I'd love for you to clarify a little bit or expand upon detox if you can, because I think a lot of times when we hear about it in popular media, it's like someone's going on a detox, like a juice cleanse, or, you know, a supplement detox, or a colon cleanse, or all these different quote detox options that are out there. And when you talk about detox as it relates to nutrition, are you talking about things like that? Or are you talking about something that you're doing consistently, like on a daily basis, that supports that detox process?
Yeah, so I'm definitely not talking about the juice cleanses or the fads of, you know, celery juice only and anything like that. Even like the tea detoxes, nothing like that. So when I'm talking about detox, I'm definitely talking about supporting our organs in the detox process. So providing our bodies ample amounts of nutrients for that detox process from food, really consistent food and nutrition, definitely not only in the form of things like supplements or powders or anything like that. Sticking with whole foods starting with whole foods is definitely the best. There's definitely room for appropriate supplementation. But essentially we're wanting to get the majority of the nutrients from food just because, we know that our body uses those nutrients oftentimes the best. But our liver is a major part of that detox system. Our kidneys are another big part. Our skin is also another big part, like sweating. That's really helpful for a natural detox system as well. So there tends to be two camps when it comes to detox. It's either those cleanses that you were mentioning, Christy, or it's your body has the organs it needs to detox and it doesn't need any support. But I fall kind of in a different spot than that. I strongly believe that our body needs detox support, but it's best provided in the form of real nourishment from real food and lifestyle support. So exercise is a great form of supporting our detox system because we can get our body sweating. That's a good detox support. And then, as I mentioned, whole food for supplying that liver all of the numerous amounts of nutrients that it needs at all different stages of detox for that. And then the kidneys as well, they need really hydration in order to do their filtration job and detox job as well.
Yeah, and I think that there's probably a lot of overlap between, let's say, nutrients that support egg quality and those that also support like the detox process. Would that be a correct thing to say?
Absolutely, yes.
All right, so let's focus on some of those nutrients that specifically affect egg quality. I'd love to kind of go through each of them individually just because it's not common that we hear detailed information about these, and I'd really love our listeners to get a better understanding of what they are, what role they play, you know, where they can find those nutrients, and whether or not they might need a supplement to actually get those nutrients. So earlier you talked about folate as being one of the important nutrients for egg quality.
Yeah, folate's super, super important. We have a lot of research on folate showing that it's important that mom has appropriate amounts of folate in her body when she conceives, because it is important for neural tube formation, basically preventing things like spina bifida. But folate is also really important in the whole genetic programming process of equality as well. So helping you conceive sooner and have a healthy baby.
And for anyone who doesn't know, folate is a B vitamin. A lot of people don't realize that it's part of the B vitamin family because we only ever talk about it as being folate or folic acid. But I just wanted to clarify that for everyone. So what foods can you find folate in?
The best sources of folate in food include things like beans, leafy greens, so your dark leafy greens especially, and even avocado.
Okay, and now folic acid or folate in some prenatal vitamins is really common. It's one that a lot of providers encourage their patients to take, hopefully, if they're up to date on the preconception education before pregnancy, but definitely during pregnancy, if not. Do you think that most people do need a supplement for folate, or do you think that you can often get it from a balanced diet?
Supplementation of folate is definitely important. It's important to have folate in your prenatal vitamin because it's really hard to get enough of in our diet. I'd love to say that we can, but it's pretty challenging to get without supplementation additionally.
And can you talk a little bit about the difference between folic acid and folate and, you know, which one is better than the other, if there is one?
Yeah, definitely. So folate is the more natural occurring type of the nutrient. It's the type that's found in food, where folic acid is a synthetic version that it was created in a lab for supplementation purposes. So I recommend choosing a supplement with folate specifically, which is typically like methylfolate, because a large portion of our population actually cannot use folic acid appropriately due to genetic variations. So in order to get the full benefit of folate and make sure that it is supporting your egg quality in the ways that we want it to, I'm getting it from both food and the folate form in supplements is important. And that can be really, really confusing because folate and folic acid are often used interchangeably on supplement labels when it's inaccurate, like when it's not actually folate. So super unfortunate there, but definitely working with a provider that has knowledge on those differences or a dietitian can be really helpful to making sure you're taking the right supplementation form of that.
Yeah, that is really discouraging to hear because I was thinking, okay, now that I know all the great things about folate, I can look at labels and make sure I'm getting that. But it sounds like that might not even be accurate in all cases.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not. And I keep coming across like more supplements that have it inaccurately labeled. Like on the supplement facts panel, it'll say folate. But then underneath it, if you look at the types of folate in it, it might be folic acid and not actually folate. So it's super misleading.
So folate has now become a buzzword and companies realize that. So yeah. They're using it to their advantage. So good tip. Make sure that you look at both parts of the label if you're purchasing a prenatal vitamin without talking to someone beforehand. Okay, so one of the other B vitamins that you had mentioned was B6. Could you explain what B6 is and the role that it plays in the preconception period and egg quality?
Yeah, so B6 is another methyl donor that supports the epigenetics or the genetic programming while your eggs are maturing. So B6 is found in foods, mainly in highest amounts in things like fish and shellfish, but also found in animal proteins like poultry and beef as well. So definitely another super important nutrient, along with folate to make sure you're getting enough of preconception. B6 is a little bit easier to get enough of without a supplement, but a good quality prenatal should still have, B6 in it as well. And definitely if you are a vegetarian or vegan, like you definitely want to be, supplementing B6 as well.
Awesome. That's great advice. What about B12?
Yeah, so B12 is another methyl donor as well. So also supporting the epigenetics and genetic programming to support egg quality during preconception period. B12 plays a really big role in not only egg quality, but also supporting your like neurological health too in your brain, and will eventually support your baby's neurological health, brain development as well. So getting enough B12 is definitely important preconception because it sets you up with better stores during those early weeks of pregnancy as well. That goes for all of these nutrients, as they all play really important roles of the early development of the embryo as well. But back to B12. B12 is found in animal proteins mostly, so or really only aside from nutritional yeast. If you are not including animal proteins in your diet, you definitely need appropriate supplementation of B12 preconception. It plays a major role in egg quality, and I have seen many people who are even just limiting animal protein in their diet be deficient in B12, and it is definitely impacting their ability to conceive or carry to term. So B12 can be a really big one in recurring miscarriage. And something else that I definitely want to touch on with B12 is that if you're deficient going into pregnancy, it can actually lead to irreversible development delays in baby as well. So that's another big reason to make sure that you're getting appropriate nutrients preconception.
Yeah, that's a great point. And in one of my previous podcast episodes, I had mentioned the book by Rebecca Fett that's called Brain Health from Birth. And it talks a lot about how babies develop hundreds of thousands of nerve cells every minute during pregnancy. And so when you think about entering pregnancy deficient in a lot of these nutrients, even if you are then improving your stores by taking a prenatal vitamin or additional supplementation or eating better, you've probably lost several months there of healthy brain development for your baby, specifically in the first trimester when it's really most important. And so I think that's a really good point. How long would you say it takes to increase your stores of these B vitamins if you are deficient in them?
It definitely depends on, you know, if you have other barriers going on, like digestion and absorption, say if you have stuff like big stuff in your gut going on, and B12 can actually have some other underlying issues for absorption as well. But at least I recommend at least 3 months of taking a good comprehensive prenatal and really nourishing your body with good whole food to make sure that you are sufficient across the board in all of the important nutrients prior to conception.
So, okay, so we've talked about folate, B6, and B12. Are there any other nutrients that are important when we're talking about egg quality?
Just antioxidants in general. So antioxidants are there's a huge number of antioxidants, but the easiest way to think about antioxidants, I think anyways, in your diet is the color that you're seeing in your diet. So fruits and veggies, you want a wide variety of color from all of your plant foods, really, in order to be getting a variety of antioxidants in your diet. Supplementation of antioxidants can be really beneficial, depending on your overall health as well, because antioxidants are a really big one that are used throughout the body, so way beyond egg quality. But if there's any other sources of, say, inflammation in your body or infection, or really if you can think of any symptoms happening in your body, there's likely antioxidants being sent to help decrease that symptom or help support your body in taking that symptom away. So in order for the antioxidants to be used for supporting egg quality, not only do we want to be supporting our overall health, but we want to be making sure that we're getting plenty of them in our body in case our body is taking those resources away from reproductive health and egg quality. I think that's an important point to make, is that fertility is really our body's last result, or reproductive health is really the body's last focus when it comes to overall health. So if there's anything else going on in your body, you definitely want to pay attention to that during the preconception period. So all of these nutrients that we're talking about that you are wanting to take to support egg quality are actually able to support egg quality, because they're not being stolen away to do another job in the body.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I think it's a really important conversation. And it really speaks to the fact that many times infertility is a sign of something else. You know, infertility is actually the end result of some other abnormality in the body. In a lot of cases. And so it really speaks to the importance of looking at things like this in the preconception period, so that you do not get to the point where you've been trying for 6 months, 12 months, and, you know, have not been successful in having a pregnancy, or have had early miscarriages, only to then find out, you know, a year or two later when you go to a fertility doctor that a lot of this was based on lifestyle and nutrition and things like that, that could have been preemptively corrected, you know, before you ever started trying. And I think that's, you know, one of our missions, is to really change the mindset from figuring out what the problem is once you start trying to preventing the problem before you ever start trying to conceive to begin with.
Definitely. Yeah. I think any work that you can do on your overall health preconception is definitely going to make your fertility journey much less stressful and easier, for sure.
So you said that there are several different types of antioxidants. What are some of the common ones that people might have heard of that maybe they don't realize are antioxidants?
CoQ10 is a really big one in the fertility world. It's often mentioned in supplementation form, if we're going to be getting evidence-based doses of CoQ10 to support egg quality, we definitely need to get it in supplements. It is found in foods, but typically in fairly low amounts, oftentimes like animal protein type foods. But CoQ10 is really an antioxidant. So it is going to be supporting egg quality by fighting off that oxidative damage or oxidative stress that could be occurring, and also helping your mitochondria, so providing energy that our follicles need to develop and ovulate.
Yeah, that's a really good example. Is there anything other than CoQ10 that people might know about or that they should know about?
So N-acetylcysteine, or NAC, is another one that's really beneficial for egg quality and consistent ovulation as well. That's often it's often necessary to supplement as well. And both for CoQ10 and NAC, like I strongly recommend like just talking to your provider about supplementation, of course, for your specific case to make sure that you're not overdoing it or you're not underdoing it even. You're getting the biggest bang for your buck mainly because these can also be fairly pricey supplements. But NAC is another really great one for supplementing when it comes to egg quality as well.
Okay, great. Well, we're getting towards the end of the podcast, and we will have Brooke back to talk about sperm quality because we felt that that deserved its own episode. But is there anything that you'd like to share before we leave, Brooke, that you think the listeners might benefit from knowing?
I would say just, you know, it's never too early to focus on preconception care. So if you're not thinking about having children for a couple of years, it's still not too early to think about, you know, what's going on in your body, what's going on with your cycle, and what you can do to start making small changes to improve your overall health. Because focusing on your overall health is also really important too. But the big benefit there is that you're going to be helping support your future tiny human as well once you are ready to conceive. And if you are currently trying to conceive, there's still a lot that you can do too for preconception care. Just if you're, don't be afraid to seek support, I guess is what I want to say additionally. Most of my clients come to me thinking that they're already following like a really healthy diet and lifestyle, but they're not necessarily eating for fertility. So that's a really important distinction, especially when eating for fertility can be so individualized. So if you're struggling with hormone imbalance or cycle trouble and you're hoping to conceive now or in the near future, definitely don't hesitate to seek support.
Yeah. And even if you're not struggling and you feel like, you know, you're healthy, there's so many things underlying that just may not have shown themselves symptomatically yet. And I say yet because eventually they probably will. But I think it's, you know, it's important for everyone to know that this option exists, know that there are people like Brooke out there that you can speak with and that are there to support you, and don't necessarily wait for your provider to talk to you about this. While in a perfect world they would, they may not, you know, they don't know what they don't know. And so they may not even realize that this is something that they should be talking to you about. So, you know, take the initiative yourself to reach out to people, especially people like Brooke who specialize in fertility and the preconception period, because as you can see there, it's so detailed and there's so much information that, you know, a conventional dietitian may not know. And, you know, speaking of that, how can our listeners find you, Brooke?
Yeah. So you can go to my website, which is www.brookbnutrition.com, or come find me on Instagram. I'm the.fertility.dietitian. I have a ton of free information on there as well. Follow the link in my bio for my blogs and a free meal plan as well. And definitely don't hesitate to reach out if you're interested in working together.
Well, thank you again for coming on to the Preconception Podcast, Brooke, and I look forward to speaking with you on our next episode about sperm quality.
Thank you so much, Christy. It was fun to be here.
The information provided in the Preconception Podcast is for educational purposes only and should not be interpreted as medical advice. Please speak with your healthcare provider to learn more about your health before pregnancy.